Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're going to be talking to TJ Wittick. And we are going to be talking about how to navigate crises and protect your greatest asset, or as we will call it, reputation capital. TJ, welcome to the show.
David, thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Well, we want you to know I Googled you and your reputation precedes you, right? So it's good. I made right sure. I said, is this important? Let me go check him out. I'm sure those things that you talk about in the FBI are nothing to be worried about. I just let those go by. It's all good, TJ.
Yes, I was hoping for a semi-famous reputation as opposed to a infamous reputation.
Infamous reputation. Very, I'm sure you've used that before. I'm sure. So obviously in today's day and age, not that it's ever not been true, but in today's day and age, reputation matters tremendously. And somebody's personal brand, somebody's brand, whether if you're an HR, a senior leader, or from a company perspective, company is simply made up of people. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about why you thought about this topic, what you bring to the table about it, and why people should be interested in listening to you about it.
Yeah, you know, I think you raised that point about at no time has it ever been really more of a concern for a brand to be concerned about its reputation. I think that's for so many reasons that have been well discussed, whether it's our omni-channel media landscape that is now 24/7. You know, it's not like we sit at home and wait for the evening newspaper to show up or even the 6:30 newscast, which was sort of, you know, the flagship newscast for American broadcast networks. We're getting bombarded with information on social media channels. We all have smartphones that, so all of us are citizen journalists that can essentially post around the clock. And so when you get to those 6:30 newscasts, it's almost like they then have to give you a different spin on what you may have seen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on your phone, because there, again, are so many different ways to consume the news. You alluded to it before getting into my current role as a counselor of crisis and issues management. I was a broadcast news reporter for nearly 20 years. I was a local news reporter in markets like Fort Myers, Florida, Pittsburgh, and my hometown of Boston before going to ABC News, the network, for nearly 6 years. And so I have a unique perspective, I believe, working with my current clients now as a counselor of reputation management, because, you know, I've seen how it is on both sides. I say in the intro to the book that when it comes to the media's dogged pursuit of a story, I've been both the hunter and the hunted. So, you know, I know what's going to happen on day one, let's say, of a story, if the media is interested. I know the different twists and turns that a story can take and the media narrative that can take hold if a brand doesn't forcefully defend their reputation and if they haven't built up their reputation before crisis strikes.
We're talking with TJ Wittick, and he has a new book, and it is called The Aforementioned Reputation Capital, How to Navigate Crises and Protect Your Greatest Asset. So it makes sense in this situation that you would have the cred to really talk about it and to go into that. When you were thinking about the book, when you were thinking about reputation in general, did you, when you were a reporter, think of it that way? Or did you really just think about the story and how to move it forward?
Well, that's a really good question. So, you know, when I was with a broadcast company as a reporter, and I conducted thousands of interviews over the course of my career, but it really wasn't until I came over into the strategic communications realm of things that I truly appreciated the level of complexity, the dynamic that was at play in those interviews, because so many of the people that I spoke with, and I would say the majority of interviews that I had with, let's say, a spokesperson or a CEO from a brand in crisis, were handled quite well, and you know, tended to sort of tamp down, you know, the pressure that was being put on the company at the moment. So I feel like, having been through this before, having seen how so many CEOs are, you know, not great communicators, David. They're excellent at what they do. It was baffling at times when I was a reporter that these CEOs who had risen to the tops of their ultra competitive industries and companies weren't necessarily great communicators. They can be mutually exclusive, being a successful business person and being a great communicator. And so, you know, one of the things that I talk about in this book is that in addition to focusing in on your business model or your operations at the time, you need to be thinking about how to build up your reputation capital, because when the inevitable crisis strikes, and it will strike, whether you own a small business or you're part of a larger corporation, having that brand equity, if you will act as a sort of armor against some of the arrows that will be coming at you during a hard time.
There's no question. All businesses go through challenges and so forth. When I think about the human resource world and how HR is, you know, tasked with making sure that the people of the organization are taken care of and tasked with hiring people and tasked with all these things, what advice do you have for them? And we're certainly going to get into the company, but what advice do you have for them about what they should be looking for when it comes to reputation? There's plenty of, you know, background checks and all these things that a lot of companies do, but what should they really be looking for or be concerned about?
Well, you know, my door into the world of HR has been through sitting side by side with crisis response teams at some institution or organization and having to work, you know, hand in glove with HR and legal and in-house communications team, perhaps a college president, perhaps a CEO, perhaps a CFO, a COO. So I understand how vital, first of all, HR leaders are to coming up with a crisis response that is effective and is empathetic in their communication. And what I've discovered, and they've always been great partners, is that there are so many similarities to how HR leaders conduct themselves and how communicators should conduct themselves. And of course, I'm talking about in writing, whether it's in an email or, you know, on paper, or oral communications, having to deliver hard news to an internal audience. And that's obviously because so many of what the crisis communications I do can be for both internal and external audiences, but there are certain organizations who say, we just need your help with internal, you know, communications, because we don't expect this reorg, or we don't expect this round of layoffs to necessarily attract outside attention. So, you know, all of this work is going to go towards, you know, making sure that employees are spoken to in an empathetic and compassionate way, if it is layoffs. So that, let's say at the top of the pandemic, that you're speaking to them and giving them information in a way that makes them feel like they have the information and the education to keep themselves safe. I think just like being an expert communicator, being an expert HR leader is about providing calm, accurate, and clear direction, especially when their times are uncertain, and never was that more the case than, again, at the onset of the pandemic. I think oftentimes in internal communications, we try and address rumors head on. You know, we try to be as transparent as possible and you know, try to reframe, if you will, I won't say spin, but try and reframe news that might be construed as bad for the organization. And I think it's really acting in some ways as a PEP leader, giving employers or employees, excuse me, the mission, the purpose, the direction they need in order for them to lead. If we're talking about, let's say, middle management, we're talking about cascading communications where we're saying to a group of, you know, leadership or someone in middle management, we're going to give you this information, this message that you need to deliver in a, you know, confident and comfortable manner. And people need to believe what you're saying, because if it's not delivered in a positive way and in a way that, you know, folks believe you're confident in the message, then, you know, they may walk away not really buying what you're selling.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that employees for our clients understand that leadership has their best interests in mind. Human resources wants to do lots of the similar things. And so, you know, we're often asked to come in to help message actions at which HR is at the center. We stay away from some of the nitty gritty of sort of the, you know, the language that has to happen between employees and HR, especially in highly sensitive one-on-one conversations. But we do think about it from the 10,000 foot view, which is, how is the CEO going to be communicating across the entire organization, even if the entire organization isn't impacted necessarily by, you know, a certain round of layoffs?
And we're talking with TJ Winnick, and we're talking about his book, Reputation Capital, How to Navigate Crises and Protect Your Greatest Asset. You know, TJ, you're on the HR Power Hour, you're talking to HR professionals, business leaders, and that's solid advice, right? To understand, to be honest, and be as honest as you can be, be as authentic as you can, and do that. How important is it, is really the question, of their previous reputation going into these? You alluded to it a little bit that, you know, having some goodwill going into these histories and problems can cause trouble. How important is that? And if somebody maybe doesn't have the best reputation, how important is it for them to change that or to get that in shape over a period of time?
Well, let me start off with the concept of reputation capital to answer that question, because, you know, reputation capital is the sum total, I would say, of goodwill that a brand has earned through its previous actions, right? It's accrued numerous ways: word of mouth, online reviews, the level of trust established with key stakeholders such as customers, the perceived value of a product or service that's being offered, and thought leadership that it demonstrates within its industry and beyond, such as on podcasts like the HR Power Hour. The reason the book is called Reputation Capital is because I do believe it is the leading factor in how successfully a brand can weather a reputational crisis and how it's perceived post-crisis. In other words, it begins with how the public views your brand positively or negatively in neutral times. And so that's why I make the case that it is critical to spend the necessary time, resources, and energy, not just on, again, perfecting your business operations, but on building up your capital. And, you know, for CEOs and leaders, this means behaving responsibly, always with their organization's mission and impact top of mind, so they can make better decisions in the first place, and then subsequently communicate these intentions. So I don't know if I answered your question, but what I would say is that whenever you listen to a newscast and it's about a brand in crisis, you'll always notice how their reputation comes into play. So if it's, let's say, I'm going to use a bank called Wells Fargo that's had a lot of issues in the past 5 years. So if there's a story about, let's say, some of their lenders using unethical business practices, their previous issues are going to come into play. And it's going to, you know, sort of taint the coverage of that story. If you have, let's say, a great brand like Starbucks, and they have an issue like they did, and I talk about in my book, where two gentlemen were arrested in a Philadelphia cafe for just being there. There were two African-American men. People's first instinct is going to believe, okay, well, what happened here? It's Starbucks. I know they typically do the right thing. So they're more often given the benefit of the doubt than a brand like a Facebook or like a Wells Fargo or like a Spirit Airlines, where you just see, you know, so many negative pieces of news in the paper about these individuals' brands, whether it's their fault or whether it's not.
TJ, you're absolutely right. And we're going to get more into this when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Car is a wreck and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
If you're single and not dating on Match, then listen up. Match is not only number one in first dates, but second dates too. In fact, they've surveyed over 5,000 U.S. singles to get the top tips and advice when it comes to dating. Here we go. You want to impress a first date? Put your phone away. 45% of singles would be turned on if you visibly turned off your phone during a date. This is my issue, but the Mets are on it. It's like the eighth inning, and they're going to the bullpen. Millennials are 270% more likely than other generations to be turned on by someone who is binge-watching the same TV shows like Stranger Things or OA. Singles flirt everywhere, but flirting at the bar, in the laundromat, or at the gym are the most successful. I like to just say, hey, can I fold your clothes? Oh, see, now I get to, I don't know, but I would like to fold your clothes. Dating can be difficult, so if you're not using Match, you're missing out. Start searching and connecting for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com, Match.com, M-A-T-C-H.com.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and vero-law.com. As a reminder, you can listen to the HR Power Hour on hrpowerhour.com. You can, of course, go to radio station WLOB 100.5 FM and podcast on all major podcast channels. Just type in the HR Power Hour and check it out. We appreciate it very, very much. All right, we are with TJ Winnick, and we're talking about reputation capital, how to navigate crises and protect your greatest asset. TJ, you have in your book, and it's on page 11, a conversation about building your reputation capital, and you talk about prioritize culture. A strong culture begins with how an organization approaches recruiting, team building, mentoring, and maintaining the overall morale of its employees. Cultures something that, of course, all organizations are dealing with in regards to, especially today, and how the cultures have maybe changed since the pandemic. As you're working with organizations, what do you feel is the prioritization of culture? And what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that during the pandemic, that it was those brands or organizations which doubled down on culture at the beginning, the outset of the pandemic, that have been most successful working remotely when they've had to over the past 2.5 years. I'm going to sound a little bit like a salesman, but I think our own firm, Issues Management Group, which is a public affairs, strategic communications, and digital firm based in Boston, that we've done a tremendous job because we found ways to keep individuals engaged. We're going to have gone back right after Labor Day for 3 days a week after being apart for 2.5 years. And we come back, I would say, with an even stronger culture than we left with. Now, there's been some change in management and things like that, but there was this recognition that, you know, we're going to have group get-togethers when we can, when the pandemic isn't an issue. We're going to make sure that we have all hands on deck meetings and, you know, do play some funny games and things like that. We're going to have trivia nights. There are little, you know, gifts of appreciation from ownership that arrive at our homes every now and then. And it's just this feeling that, listen, if you need a mental health break, that's critically important to us at this time, realizing how stressful the past 2.5 years have been, whether you're someone who's towards the end of their career, whether you're mid-career and have a family, whether a young person and you live in a 700 square foot apartment alone, all those different personalities and backgrounds come into the office together to make up the workplace culture. And so, you know, we found that when it comes to reputation management and speaking about some of our clients, that these issues of how you prioritize culture, which let's say it's diversifying your workforce, you've made that one of the goals for your hiring process, that when you diversify your workforce, you're bringing more perspectives to the table. Therefore, you'll be able to offer a greater array of thought leadership and counsel to your clients. And that way you end up recruiting folks who a greater variety of folks who will only benefit from being part of your firm, and you'll only benefit from having them on board. So it always becomes intertwined, because if you don't hire good people and they're part of your culture, the product might not be as good, the services may not be as good, and then the culture isn't as good, and then people hear about the culture and they don't want to work for you. So at some point, reputation and culture are always going to become intertwined. It could be a negative review on Yelp or on Glassdoor or elsewhere, but you know, you think about how people make purchasing decisions in their private lives. A lot of folks do the same type of research when they're looking for an organization to join.
No, and I like in the book that you have these sections called debriefs. And I use the one for the culture, and it says today's customers make it clear that they want to do business with organizations that reflect their own beliefs. To review the recommendations, and you put to start building reputation capital or prioritizing culture, reflecting on feedback, becoming a thought leader, cultivate an online audience, create content, exercise corporate citizenship, and choose a highest value. And I think that people will get, if they read the book, a real understanding of what you mean by all those areas. You know, one of the other things that struck me as I read through the book is actually section two, believe it or not. And I said, I don't really know why I like two as much, but it was what I thought was interesting is it says the best managed crises are the ones you've never heard of. And that is so obvious, but we don't necessarily remember that that's the case. There are so many things that happen on a daily basis that we don't hear about. And isn't that what we all want in leadership, is to actually not hear about them, even though they are happening? So, you know, that crisis communication you taught is really about not getting it out of the news media, not putting it out and forward and center, right? Isn't that what you're ultimately trying to do?
100%. We have retainer clients at our firm as well. Those are ongoing clients that we're raising the visibility of those organizations and their mission. We're trying to secure thought leadership for their CEO and other members of the C-suite. The ultimate success is landing, let's say, a front page story on the cover of a major daily newspaper or in a editorial section. In crisis and issues management, most of my clients define success by not being anywhere near the media or any other public conversation. They want a lot of these issues to go away. Now, yes, we'll be retained by organizations that say, hey, listen, we made a mistake. We now need to make good. We need to explain to our stakeholders how we're going to win their trust back and how we're going to operate more effectively moving forward. But again, there are those situations where they don't want to appear in any sort of, you know, social media or media outlet, because they are dealing with issues that they know that if they do get out, that they will be a reputational threat. And so, you know, I talk about reputational threats in here. I talk about issues. I talk about crises. Issues are really, I think of as a simmering crises, and then a crisis as really sort of a full-blown crisis. But the question that I pose in this book, because I think a lot of people in corporate America, they're sort of in their own bubble, and they start to think about, you know, how something that's happening inside may play outside, and they start to get a distorted perception of, you know, will the media find this interesting? You know, is there an opposition group that's going to come after us? That may very well be the case. And I say having a little paranoia in a situation where there's a potential crisis can be a good thing to anticipate every possible scenario. But I think, you know, having someone in from the outside, like myself or an outside attorney, you can give those on the inside sort of a reality check on, you know, is this a crisis or is this not a crisis? And, you know, that will, one, help you not spend the exorbitant hours that you may end up spending on something unless it is a real crisis, but you can just be proactive. You can, you know, monitor the situation and you can act, and you'll be, you know, prepared to act if something does rise up.
No, TJ, that makes a lot of sense. And again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. And today we're talking with TJ Winnick. He's talking about reputation capital. We only have about a minute or two left in this segment, but I thought it was interesting that you said in the book, you have this about don't apologize when it's a half apology, these things about, which are really judgment calls, are they not, when to make those type of decisions? And I want to just segment that for a second to not just companies, but the leaders themselves, because I think that's an interesting piece of this. When should a person apologize, either for the organization or themselves? And when it's a half apology, it's kind of known. So talk about that. We have about a minute left in this segment.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, corporate America has become so used to apologizing because they think that it's an easy way to avoid a major crisis or a major scandal if they only apologize. And don't get me wrong, there are certain crises that will not get out of the headlines unless it's a full-throated and heartfelt apology. However, you know, the apology shouldn't be seen as a corporate blanket, if you will, the way that a young child would use a blanket for a sense of security. It should be viewed as, we need to be protective of our brand. And does this situation make an apology absolutely necessary? So I talk about when the offense is perceived and not real, right? Is it a bunch of people on Twitter complaining? Are those people even your audience? When no one otherwise would have noticed? This is a question we speak to about our clients all the time. Sure, if they have a fiduciary responsibility or an ethical responsibility to report something, absolutely they should. But if they don't always have to feel like sharing everything is the right move. And oftentimes it isn't the right move. And then when not enough time has passed, because sometimes people will, when I say people, the general public will perceive a apology that came way too quickly as disingenuous and not thoughtful, not having been thought through.
No, great advice. And again, you're listening with the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and podcasts on all national podcast channels. We will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation. 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. And we are talking with TJ Winnick. He has a new book, reputation capital, how to navigate crises and protect your greatest asset. By the way, that could be you, that could be the company, depends on what your asset is. And, you know, I think one of the interesting things is different people have different perceptions of what crisis means to them. And so maybe it isn't such a big deal, or I don't think it's such a big deal. And I watch people get very surprised when something they think is so trivial become toxic or become, you know, digitally takes over the world. On the other hand, I see things that they're all worried about and suddenly nothing happens. So how would you advise somebody to lower the anxiety a little bit or up the anxiety? What would you give them for advice?
Wow, that's a really complex question, one that I'm really happy to answer. You know, that could take the shape of so many different things because, you know, oftentimes that means monitoring and responding to the reality on the ground. And what I mean by that is it could be having a social media team monitor what's being said online and having certain metrics for levels of engagement if you're going to categorize what's happening online as a crisis. When we engage with our clients and let's say there is a personnel issue or there is a possible leadership transition, or if there is going to be a potential round of layoffs, we so often, when we engage with our clients, we learn just as much from them often as they do from us because they know how they're used to communicating internally. We say, well, what are they hearing? What are they hearing from, you know, their direct reports, or what are they hearing from their managers, or what's being said in a private Facebook group? And those are the ways that we typically will try and determine how much of a crisis we have on our hands. Now, certainly if there's a grand jury indictment of the CFO for embezzling, we know that's pretty clear cut and dry, right? We know that that's going to attract attention. But the best thing that I can tell folks is that the level of preparation needs to be amongst the things that you spend the most time dedicated to, whether that means building a crisis plan with recommended protocols and procedures. Those are the action steps you're going to take in the event of a plan. Who's on the crisis team? Are you going to have trainings, tabletop trainings, which I talk about in the book, which is sort of a simulated crisis response with the participants sitting around an actual table? Someone like myself or a facilitator will talk about different twists and turns of a crisis, which they haven't been alerted to beforehand, and then they'll have to respond in real time like they would during an actual crisis. So I think, you know, I talked about how you can determine whether there is a crisis. And I think then the question is, have you prepared for a crisis? And that written communications plan and trainings, whether it's media trainings or those tabletops I mentioned, are absolutely critical because, you know, the more you work out those crisis muscles, the more you'll be prepared when the real thing strikes.
That's great advice. And again, we're talking with TJ Winnick. We're talking about his book, Reputation Capital, and we're talking about your reputation and why it matters. I mean, the reality is, TJ, is that these things typically come when you don't expect them. They come out of nowhere sometimes, and you never know. So you better be prepared no matter what. Who knew, for example, the pandemic was coming? And a lot of people had no idea what to do in that situation. This is kind of an example of that. I want to ask you a question. It's a question I like asking guests, which is, tell me your best story, or maybe a combination of stuff that is information on somebody listening today and they're saying, sounds interesting. What could this really do for me or my organization? So I'm letting you tell your best story. Sell it. Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of stories, if I can make them through both, that actually were, you know, two clients that I worked on not long after I left journalism and started working at the firm. So the first story was when we were hired by a chain of convenience stores. There's a parent company, and they had to fire an employee because that individual had pulled a gun on a knife-wielding robber in self-defense. So while he was successful in scaring off the assailant, he had violated company policy by which prohibited employees from bringing firearms to work. And it was the type of vigilante story that was too juicy for the media to resist. An employee with an otherwise spotless track record, which he was, fired from his job for using a legally owned firearm. So once the local press caught wind of the story, right, the employee was predictably elevated to hero status by many within the community. You know, I'd been out of journalism for probably less than a year, but could already imagine myself covering the story, you know, man on the street interviews, as they were called at the time, sampling public opinion and doing whatever was necessary to try to get a comment from the employer. And so the way that we counseled the client was that I knew from my experience that the critique was going to be that they didn't care about their employee enough, that they wouldn't let him defend himself. And so I convinced them to adopt the strategy and the narrative of they care so much about their employees that they don't want them bringing firearms to work because of what could potentially happen. And so it, you know, they just couldn't make a, they couldn't make an exception even for this young man. And so that's the way the defense was framed. And really there was one protest across the street from one of these stores, which is a rather large chain of convenience stores throughout New England. But essentially the story died after one day. So the threat to their reputation was effectively contained. I would say that if they took a more combative stance and, you know, didn't explain their the rationale and their thought behind it, that they would have taken a greater hit to their reputation. But I think when you make the case that you care about your employees and you just can't have them putting themselves in that type of a situation, then that's an argument that the public can buy. Do I have time for another one?
You do. You go ahead.
So a lot of clients will call us at a moment's notice and say, you know, we got this call from a reporter. They want to come speak to us. We're not sure if it's the right thing to do. We know it's not going to be a positive story. We're just not going to talk to them at all. And so, you know, we went and spoke with this company, which was a global corporation. And after talking to the leadership, we convinced them that they would probably get a better shake in the story if they were able to train up their spokesperson and convey an empathetic and compassionate voice. So I went into the office of the general manager and we sat down to try and sort of do a mock interview, if you will. I was going to play the reporter and I pulled my seat right up against her knees and she looked at me. And I said, well, this is what the reporter is going to do. An investigative reporter is going to crowd your space. And she became, it sort of had a bewildered expression until I explained that. We did a few rounds of Q&A, and it was obvious that she was going to be an excellent spokesperson. And a week later, that GM called to thank me, crediting our practice session for her confidence during the actual interview. She had felt totally prepared. And the reporter did just as I had predicted, which is pulling his chair uncomfortably close to hers to sort of crowd her space. And when the final story aired, the GM came across as knowledgeable and thoughtful with reasonable answers and explanations for the issues the story addressed. And so the viewers were left to make up their own minds. And so the point I want to make here is that so many brands will often say no comment. But David, you and I both know what the public thinks when they hear no comment. It's either I'm guilty, I don't have time to speak with you, or I can't be bothered. And so taking the time to think through a thoughtful response is always worth the time.
It absolutely is. And great examples, TJ. And we're going to wrap it up in the next segment of the HR Power Hour. Stand by. We'll be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetti.
And I'm Pete McVetti from McVetti's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetti's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Ferrell-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and thank you for listening to Educational HR Radio today on the HR Power Hour. You are listening to David Chulo, your host, and of course, TJ Winnick, author of Reputation Capital. Of course, the book can be bought on Amazon. I don't know what can't. But most things could be bought on Amazon. I'm sure there are other areas. TJ, any particular website that they could go to that maybe can get directly to you?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, David. They can go to issuesgroup.com. That's our firm's website, Issues Management Group, but it's issuesgroup.com. And then, as you mentioned, the book can be found on Bookshop, on Barnes & Noble, and on Amazon.
Have no doubt about it. Today, we've been, of course, talking about your reputation, reputation capital, how to navigate crises and protect your greatest asset. You know, in the book, you have a quote from Warren Buffett. It says, it takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it. If you think about that, you do things differently. As we wrap up the show today, I'm also thinking about at the end of your book, you talk in the epilogue. You say, much like a response to protect and defend a reputation, the practice of crisis and issues management itself is never static. It will continue to look and sound different as it reflects shifting social norms, emerging technology, and evolving business practices. And I think that maybe is one of the big points today, is the fact that this never ends. It's ongoing forever, especially in today's day-to-day digital world. So TJ, one thing that you want to make sure the audience gets from today's topic, as well as that they will get from the book, what is that?
Well, you know, I think whether the reader's position includes a communications function or not, that I've written this book so that anyone from really intern to CEO can understand the considerations that should be top of mind and the practical tools that should be available when facing a reputational threat. My hope is that in taking this advice to heart, that you know, the reader and their colleagues will be ready to respond in the eye of the storm when everything's on the line. They should remember, and this is also critically important, that no one plan and no one response is going to make sense for every organization, right? I mean, the strategy might be appropriate for the nature of one crisis, but when you talk about another organization in a similar situation, it might be the wrong response. Some brands will favor a much more aggressive approach. Others will lean into a more conservative response, I would say. Let's say sending a brief statement only to those inquire and using more subdued language as opposed to the interview, which I used as my story example. But I do hope by considering some of the lessons, the examples, and the advice offered within the pages of the book, that the reader will be able to successfully navigate whatever reputational threats that they and their team confront. And, you know, a little bit of an altruistic message here, but, you know, follow your true north, right? Weigh multiple options, follow the mission of your organization, include those perspectives of seasoned attorneys and communications professionals, and choose the response that won't compound the damage, but will help you pave the road to redemption. Because this isn't about you, you know, this is about the brand. So don't take it personally. Apologize if you think it's necessary, and speak in a way that is true to what your brand is and not based on trying to avoid blame for something which you're trying to essentially convince folks that there's nothing to see here. That rarely works. I think you know that.
No, there's no question about it. So as we wrap up the show today, obviously, you've gone from reporter to the other side, as they say, right? To the other side, helping people deal with their reputation. You miss being a reporter?
You know, I don't. It was great. I miss the people is what I miss. You know, I got out practically 10 years ago. This was, you know, before fake news, so-called fake news was a thing. I think it's a lot harder to be a reporter now. You know, I got into broadcasting because I thought it was a public service. We used to sit around the table with my family. I used to watch, you know, Peter Jennings and Tom Brokaw, John Chancellor and Dan Rather and those guys. And to me, it felt like you were performing a public service. And by the time I left, I felt like probably because the media landscape was becoming so fractured that less people relied on broadcast news for their information. I don't think there's any less news now. Obviously, there's a ton of news, not a lot of it good, but folks are still consuming news. They're just doing it differently. I myself, you know, look at my phone on Twitter and other platforms for my news. So I don't miss it. I miss the people. I enjoyed it. And that's why I wanted to share some of the lessons learned.
No, we appreciate it very much. Yeah. Well, thank you, TJ. Of course, this book is Reputation Capital, How to Navigate Crises and Protect Your Greatest Asset. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. Thank you, TJ. Wish you the best with the book.
Thanks, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.